Welcome to another episode of Software Gone Wild, a podcast in which we discuss SDN solutions that real engineers use in production networks. I'm Ivan Pepelniak, you might know me from my blog at ivyspace.net, and with me today is Bob McCouch, a networking engineer and blogger at herdingpackets.net. How are you today, Bob?
I'm doing fantastic, Ivan. It's a sunny summer afternoon here in Pennsylvania, in the United States. I've got a big iced coffee, and I'm ready to talk all kinds of exciting routing topics.
Perfect. Let's introduce another topic to the podcast. Everyone is talking about SDN, and most people talking about SDN are talking about flow rerouting. And the biggest case for flow rerouting is when traffic engineering. So Google is using that for its internal network. A number of companies are developing controllers, like HP is developing their WAN controller that will optimize individual elephant flows and so on and so on. However, if you want to use that, you have to know what your traffic is doing, what your applications are generating. So you have to know your traffic profile. And one of the best ways to collect the traffic profile is to use something like NetFlow or SFlow to collect what the traffic is doing across your network. There are numerous NetFlow collectors out there, and there is one that is open source and that people in large networks are using extensively. And today, our guest is Paolo Lucente, the author of the open source NetFlow tool with unpronounceable name. Paolo, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks very much for introducing me and my tool with unpronounceable name, which could be spelled PMACCT, PMACCT if you are from Italy, like me, or PMACT. And let's speak about flows then.
Okay, before going into flows, how did you get involved with NetFlow? What brought you to the whole NetFlow business?
Right, so it's something that started, let's say, just after, I would say, the end of the secondary school. I always wanted to, you know, work, and so I did in parallel to the university studies, right? So I was in the end of the 90s, together with, I was at the end of the 90s working in the largest, let's say, ISP in my town, largest independent ISP in my town, with the, let's say, 768K connection. So it was great stuff for that time. And we wanted to, you know, build our first homebrew denial of service detection system. And so, you know, having availability of a Cisco 2500 router, I mean, the choice of NetFlow was intuitive, I would say. That was my very first approach to NetFlow, and it was 98, 99, something like that.
Oh, that sounds very familiar. So is PMACCT that old, or was that another tool you built and then that slowly evolved into PMACCT?
Correct. And actually, there is even another step in the middle, actually, between the first trials of doing homebrew software and PMACCT, because PMACCT is actually from March 2003. And let's say the step in the middle is that, I was 21, it was 2000, and from this large, let's say, ISP in my hometown, which is Bari in South Italy, right? And a very beautiful seaside town with, great promenade by the sea, regional cuisine, and too few IT opportunities, let's say. So I was sent to LISA, to the LISA conference from USENIX, and that was in New Orleans. So after 26 hours of travel, I reached, New Orleans via Milan and Chicago. And on the first day of the conference, it was unexpected to me, but there was Mark Fulmer. And Mark Fulmer was the author of Flow Tools, right? And it was very topical, at that time, because NetFlow was just a few years old, I would say. Cisco dates, the conceivement of NetFlow in mid or second half of the 90s. So in 2000, presenting Flow Tools was a big event. And so that was my intermediate step. I started to use Flow tools and for, let's say, a couple of years. After that, let's say, I started to see, you know, that there was one big, let's say, gap in there, because Flowtool was able to dump every single microflow to the disk, which is absolutely flexible if you're doing dose detection or if you're doing forensic analysis or lab activities. But actually, it can become very hard to scale in a real network. On the other hand, at that time, in 2003, there was also pretty well-known NetFlow collector, which is NTOP. And the drawback of NTOP was the fact of being totally integrated, so totally integrated NetFlow collector with a web interface, right? So in between these two extremes, there was nothing. And that's essentially where I started, you know, writing a software. So I spotted that there was a gap. I had operational needs, and then I started writing my own collector properly in C.
So you effectively started writing the tool because of your operational needs.
Correct. Absolutely. And my operational needs is that in 2003, I was, not working anymore for, my the ISP with which, I started. But I did join the regional research and academic network. So in Italy, we have the CNR, National Council for Researchers, and that's more or less splitting regions, right? That the biggest fountain in a region is getting, all the institutes or many of the institutes that are in that region. So I had suddenly, a metropolitan and a regional network in my hands. And with absolutely no knowledge of, with a Juniper router and M10 router, something like that, and absolutely no visibility and no knowledge in what was going on. And no tools were, providing me that, both the scale, but also a compact view of the traffic of who was doing what, essentially. So trying to account for, user activities or department's activity or suspicious activity and things like that. So essentially what I was missing was really the data reduction, right? So a tool that would allow me on the fly to collect a lot of data, because in 2003 already, networks were starting to be high speed and to vomit really tons of, data onto the collector and reduce this kind of data according to the reports that I wanted to show. For example, accounting on a per IP address, which IP address is doing what, how much traffic to which port, to which service, and things like that. And that's essentially then, my problem. That was my problem at the moment, at that moment. And that is essentially the DNA of PMACCT.
So effectively, PMACCT's primary mission in life is a data reduction tool.
Yes. So it's, definitely to read traffic and network traffic through a variety of data sources like NetFlow, S-Flow, or LibbyCup, for example, write it natively to a good share of backends that really range from free open source relational databases like Postgres, MySQL, and things like that to NoSQL databases, to file memory tables or AMQP queues. And in between these two, the read operation, the write operation, the value added of the project is precisely that, offering data reduction techniques, both on the spatial, axis. So at the very end, exposing the primitives of the traffic. So layer two, layer three, layer four, but also BGP, IGP, exposing it to the user so that the user can really select the aggregation method on the spatial aggregation method that best fits their, project. And also on the temporal axis. So you can really do aggregation by dividing the traffic into time bins, for example. And which is, for example, the enabler to say, what happened in the last 5 minutes, what happened in the last hour, and things like that. A little bit concepts that are well known let's say, with RRD. RRD does a lot of temporal aggregation and time binning as well. So I brought all of that to the world of flows.
So I was going to point out, Paolo, that it's interesting that you mentioned that this was really a product of your own operational need, because I think what we see over and over in this industry, and probably most others as well, is that the best tools come from an engineer with a real operational need, and who just has to figure it out as he goes. That's when you seem to get that tool that's got a truly good focus, right? And it does its job, and it does its job well, as opposed to some massive committee design tool that does everything sort of okay, right? But when you've got one, you had a problem you needed to solve, and you sat down and started looking at how to approach that problem, and what you get is a lean tool that really has good focus and does its job well, even if it does have an unpronounceable name.
Yeah.
Now, when you started, you probably just had one piece of software running on some host somewhere. And in the intervening 10 years or so, I guess, you refactored the whole thing a number of times and made it more scalable. So what's the current architecture of the tool?
Yes, you are right. And I would say that at the very beginning, for example, there was absolutely no signs of multi-threading or anything like that in the software. So absolutely. Although I have to admit that there are still some pieces of legacy stuff in there, especially with naming. So sometimes people come to me and say, but what did you mean by with that name or with that thing and whatever? And then I have to explain, 10 years ago, it was a totally different ball game and things, changed a little bit over the years and over the time and things like that. But the architecture, I would say, was set right at the very beginning. And it was that there is something called, let's say, a core process, which is reading the traffic coming from the network. And there is one core process per data capturing method. So one for S-flow, one for NetFlow, or one for loop pickup. And then essentially you can attach to this core process. So there is an abstraction layer so that whatever comes, out of the data capturing method, it's abstracted, and so you don't have to have a software which is specialized on NetFlow rather than S-flow rather than leak pickup. So in the end, you have really traffic, and it could be packets, samples, or flows, right? And then you have plugins. So essentially, you have what is MySQL plugin or Postgre plugin and things like that. So you can really instantiate at runtime multiple of these plugins of the same type or of different type, and define for each its own configuration, including its own data reduction. So effectively, the architecture from the very beginning was, collect the traffic once and then, enable people to build multiple views out of that traffic. One of the views, of course, could be totally unaggregated, right? So that just in case aggregation where you keep everything and log everything down to disk, like in the good old days. But then trying to push through the architecture of the software project-oriented kind of mentality to flows, which seemed, at least in back in the years, kind of mentality that was not there, because people were just saving everything to the disk just in case one day I will do something with this data. And then, of course, that day it's terabytes of data or gigabytes of data that are absolutely impossible to mine in a meaningful way, right? So this is the very basics of the architecture of the software. And then what happened, let's say, more recently, it's like I was saying at the very beginning, introduction of threads, because, of course, what it became very, intuitive at some stage is that you can collect NetFlow, but it's very important also to, correlate NetFlow against other data sources, which could be IGP or BGP, just to, augment these flow data records with, more, with different kind of information, let's say, control plane information. And so that's when, you know, also threading, multi-threading also came into the project. So you have now this core process, which has multiple threads. One is collecting the NetFlow, and the other, or S-Flow, or, you know, using Lippicup, and the other is, you know, running a BGP, a sort of BGP daemon, so that, you know, you have two threads, or you might have also an IGP thread. And then as traffic comes in, you correlate, you do lookups into these other threads and correlate information if it is available, if anything is available to augment the flow record.
So, Paolo, I'm curious. I think even you said that you're aware that PMACCT is in use with service providers around the world. Where do you see, Paolo, most of the most of your use cases? I'm curious because I come from more of an enterprise background. The vast bulk of work I've done is with enterprises, and I've not been very familiar with your tool. So I'm curious if you see it as primarily a tool used in global scale networks from service providers, or do you see use of your tool in enterprise? Do you have a sense for that? Do you have a way that you're kind of tracking how that usage is?
Right, yes. So I would say that definitely in my DNA, there is a service provider. So definitely, I would say the tool itself is more attached, let's say, to the service provider community. And that's also because that the kind of industry I've been working for forever, I would say, since the very beginning. But of course, the use cases, the amount of use cases covered by the tool can range from service provider to enterprise to be honest, even to the the home DSL. You know, you can track down who is doing what, right? One day recently, I found a blog post saying my song is a bandwidth hogger, right? And it was about a dad that was using PMACCT in the local network in his home and found out that his song was downloading a crazy amount of stuff, right? So I would say that, the fork is very wide because at the bottom, the tool is entirely flexible, right? And that was really one of the key choices from the very beginning, expose the traffic primitives so that people can do whatever they want, essentially. So I see a lot of adoption, especially, I would say, in the service provider, which I would characterize as, content delivery networks and OTTs, so who's pushing the traffic on the internet, IP carriers. Because of the integration with the BGP, right? So the CDNs and the OTTs, they are really happy to, correlate flows with AES paths, for example. Whereas the IP carriers, they are the brokers on the internet. So they are really juggling with the, margins of, how much they sell on one port and how much they sell another port, or how much they buy a peering, for example, right? So they are always juggling on the cost per megabit. So it becomes very important having visibility of who is doing what and with which, right, entity. So try to put some sort of a price tag on the backbone and see how long, how much traffic, how long kind of a bit miles, right, how long traffic is, traveling. And then there is the whole, area of the internet exchanges. So you can use PMACCT to do kind of aggregation like source MAC, destination MAC, and see what is the traffic matrix of the internet exchange, right? Even though internet exchanges nowadays, they are more and more transitioning to also MPLS, VPLS, and so they are more and more becoming from layer two network using S-Flow. They are more and more becoming kind of proper IP carriers, I would say, or the difference is blending a lot over the time. And then, of course, there is also the receiving part of the traffic, which is the ISP, and which use, PMACCT for their peering analysis, right? So to determine how much traffic they are receiving from which peer or from which autonomous system that is sending traffic through their transit. So how to decrease their IP transit bill by moving, the traffic from the transit to the peering, right? So building a business case behind the peers. And besides of that, let's say, I would say there is also mobile operators, data centers, hotspots, I mean, every sort of entities. And since, you know, this podcast is about SDN, I, of course, see a lot of interest also. It's very emerging, I would say, kind of interest that I see from also the SDN part, right? Because for the very same reason that Ivan was saying at the beginning, right? So that in SDN, one of the major topics is that you have to be aware of what's going on the network in order to take appropriate decisions. And definitely, you know, NetFlow or IPFix, even better, which is the standardized effort, ITF standardized effort of building a telemetry or a flow, you know, protocol. I would say they are very topical in the SDN.
Paolo, since you mentioned that running PMACCT at home, that immediately triggered the question, what platforms is PMACCT running on?
Yeah, so let's say, I would say definitely on Linux, definitely. And I have to say that, you know, until 2009, maybe, until a few years ago, I was doing, let's say, a lot of regression and compiling testing on a variety of platforms, going really from Ultrix to Digital Unix to Irix. It's all hardware that I have at home, you know. And so, you know, I was making good use out of it and, you know, testing that everything is compiling properly and things like that. But I would say that primarily today, Linux should be considered the main platform, immediately followed by Solaris and FreeBSD.
So no Windows or OS X?
OS X, you know, it's in the end, you can compare it somehow to a BSD. So yes, it compiles, and there is people also doing some proof of concept on Mac Mini, right? Windows is, I want to be politically correct, right? And so I will say it's not in my DNA, so no.
So, Paolo, something else that you mentioned there that caught my attention was, you know, you specifically mentioned SDN in the context of, you know, tracking flows. And, you know, when we first started talking about the tool, I was, you know, typically I always associate NetFlow with WAN connectivity, certainly for service providers. That's, you know, kind of everything's the WAN, right? But even for enterprises, you know, usually the choke points are where most customers I work with are interested in, you know, really doing flow analysis, right? So if you've got a ton of bandwidth across the data center, you're less interested usually in the exact, you know, flow makeup than you are when you get to that choke point of going out onto the WAN or the internet to understand, you know, how your bandwidth is getting used there. But you brought up an interesting topic that maybe you can tell us a little bit more about how you might use your tool here. I could certainly see applicability of flow tracking with regard to, you know, some of the overlay technologies that are now being used for SDN deployment, right? Because the network, depending on the, you know, the particular set of platforms you're using to deploy overlay networks, you know, you may have limited visibility of the actual traffic flows that are going right, that are going on through the network, you know, with you know, hosts or endpoints actually building, you know, for instance, VXLAN overlays between each other. So it occurs to me that flow accounting, both within the overlay and also of the overlay itself, determine do we need more, you know, bandwidth between certain, you know, certain cabinets or certain pods based on the flow of the overlay and the way traffic is flowing through each of those overlays. Is that a way that you've seen the tool used, and can you tell me anything more about you know, how you see the applicability of PMACCT in that context?
Yes, so I would say, yeah, I did not really see, you know, you made a specific example, for example, the XLAN, and that's something that I didn't see, and absolutely we can catch up after, you know, this podcast and speak more about that. But yeah, definitely I see, overlay network, I mean, it's a mobile network, for example, right? Where you have some sort of encapsulation, and then you have other traffic within that encapsulation. And definitely, yes, I do see the interest into, analyzing, overlay networks and seeing both, what is happening in the outside, but also what is happening inside, to get a better idea of, where the traffic is going to and flowing from, and try also to, identify who are the real endpoints behind this traffic. And that is also where I see, also one other thing, which is, very, very, very topical, which is also, the ability for a tool that today does IP accounting, where maybe the endpoints, the MAC addresses or the IP addresses are, not so relevant like they were in the past, for example. And so, the correlation, I can't keep getting back to that topic, that the correlation is, the one topical point at the moment. And so identifying what are the right, so to, in order to solve a project, what is the right mix of data sources to correlate? And that's definitely, and that's why I was saying, let's speak, after, because that's definitely one of the areas in which, the project is growing, adding, data sources. So to, be able to message and correlate these data sources together with flow traffic.
Just to add to that, VMware's vSwitch already has NetFlow, so you could collect that. And I think Open vSwitch has SFlow, so you could collect that.
Mm-hmm.
And you can collect the physical pairs of IP addresses that are using. You could collect the statistics on overlay endpoints. But what about looking into an SFlow packet where you actually get the actual packet headers, and you could go, well, if the outside envelope is GRE or VXLAN or whatever, then I'll ignore the outside envelope and look into the inside packet and use that for the analysis.
Absolutely, absolutely, absolutely. That makes full sense. Was mentioning before, the mobile traffic. So I make, a comparison between what you are saying for VXLAN with the GTP, right? For example.
Exactly right.
And for example, PMSCCT, since got some interest from, mobile providers, can inspect GTP tunnels and do precisely what you are saying. It doesn't support a VXLAN because there was no request. So I'm, fully open to build that kind of inspection. And you are very correct in saying that besides, DPI or leap pickup, SFlow is an excellent tool for that, specifically for that.
So effectively, you have the solution working for the mobile networks. And to implement something similar in cloud environments, one would just have to adapt the decoder to look into the GRE envelope, for example.
Absolutely, absolutely, absolutely. Entirely correct.
The other thing that you also mentioned was the correlation bit. So I'm wondering, you were mentioning collecting the BGP and IGP data and correlating that with NetFlow data.
Yes.
What would be a use case for that? How would someone use that? Why would you do that instead of relying, for example, on the AS number that you can get in the NetFlow record?
Right. So because the NetFlow, so the AS number that you find in the NetFlow record, let's say originally you could find only the so-called origin source AS and destination AS, which is who is originating and getting delivered, the traffic, or you could choose the peer source AS and the peer destination AS, which is who is injecting the traffic into you and who you are sending the traffic next. Let's say that some software platform, so let's say that situation that you have to choose between origin and peer source and destination AS sense is still there on many vendors, on many high-end platforms. On some smaller software platforms, like Cisco 7200, Acer 1K, and things like that, you have now some more flexibility. There is, flexible NetFlow. You can even get both of this information together. So you can even get, of course, BGP next hop, right? But still, this is a small part of what BGP can bring you, because BGP can bring you, for example, also AES path, but MEDS, local preference, and that kind of information. And on top of that, let's not forget that with the add path, for example, or if one wants to get visibility into backup paths, right? So it becomes a multidimensional problem, because not only do you have more information in BGP than it was, it is currently implemented by vendor in NetFlow, but you have also the backup information, right? So the path that the flow didn't take, but it could have taken, right? And that can give you the visibility, for example, for how traffic can fail over and things like that. Now, that said, this is the reason, and I would even say that it's good to on one end, correlating different data sources, it's always a little bit expensive because you have this lookup and it's complex, right? But on the other end, I'm very happy that NetFlow itself is not getting into re-representing, the full BGP information as part of the NetFlow records, right? Because at some stage, if you think that you attach to every possible BGP information to every flow record, and you end up adding, even a quarter of a, very easily nowadays, quarter of a million, half a million, flow records per second, then you are not leveraging anymore something smart like a control plane, and you are removing over and over the BGP information, and that is absolutely not optimal. So I totally advocate against it, and I'm happy not to see a sort of BGP over NetFlow or over IPFix. And I absolutely think that the optimal solution is to let a collector to both BGP peer with the router and receive NetFlow, and then correlate the two information together.
Now, when you mentioned half a million flow records per second, mm-hmm. what hardware would you need on your end to collect and analyze that?
To collect that, absolutely, I would say any common off-the-shelf hardware, right? So I would more or less map, a quarter of a million of NetFlow flows per second to maybe 100 megabits per second of NetFlow, something like that, in that ballpark. And I would say that that can be, it's a task that can be absolutely done by any, modern common off-the-shelf Intel hardware, no problem.
And then the correlation bit?
That as well. That was all together. So the I was inferring the whole thing of keeping flows, maybe half a million or a quarter of a million flow records per second. 100 or 150 or 200 BGP sessions, right? With all the edge router of the network, and then correlating the two information together. And of course, the secret sauce, not so secret, I would say, but the smart decision, it's when doing this correlation, not having the collector having to do any best path computation. So let the routers tell you what is the best path and join the two information together. Right.
That's definitely interesting. I think there's a use case here that hadn't really occurred to me until just now as you were speaking about it, Paolo. But I was kind of wondering the same thing myself that even an S, if you're able to get the origin AS, or the peer AS or the BGP next hop, what else do you get by doing the computationally expensive correlation of the BGP table? But what occurred to me there is certainly, those options of NetFlow give you, the ends of the data flow, right? But not necessarily, you don't have any visibility in what's in the middle. I could certainly see on a global scale there, what you may find is maybe there's some scenario that there's an AS that's aggregating a lot of other ASs out there where they aren't the origin AS nor the one that you appear to, but they might be an optimal peer for you to try to peer with to cut down your transit because, you know, maybe they're aggregating a lot of ASs that individually are not worth you trying to peer with, but together, you know, could cut down, you know, could optimize your traffic to peer directly with them. So that's very interesting. That hadn't really occurred to me that there really is a big gap in your visibility there by only looking at the endpoints of the BGP path.
Absolutely, absolutely. You are absolutely correct. And so that is definitely, you know, that's, you know, the kind of knowledge that you want to gain, you know, the visibility in what is in the middle, right? Mm-hmm. And another very, big use case, right, is that when you get, for example, you select to get the peer AS stance, within NetFlow, right? So you get a source and the destination peer ASN. So now, of course, the peer destination ASN, it is correct, right? But what about the source peer ASN that you get from NetFlow? So what is the router doing in order to populate that field? So the router, what is doing is, doing a reverse BGP lookup and populating that field. And of course, that doesn't guarantee that that field is correctly populated, right? So you have a value, but you don't know, you know, whether that is correct or not, because you should never be doing, you know, reverse BGP lookup, because that's how you would route, you know, to the origin, but that is not necessarily saying how the origin routed the traffic onto you. So the correct thing, to do, right? So it should be, for example, and that's what PMSCCT does, you know, it provides a knob by which you can correlate an input interface and an ingress node to an autonomous system. And it's using that kind of information to associate a flow. So imagine that you are getting ingress NetFlow, right? So you go in this map, you find which ASN is, you know, connected to this interface, and then you use that as a source peer ASN rather than doing a reverse BGP lookup.
Mm-hmm. Oh my, so you are saying that by relying on BGP tables, the routers potentially misrepresent all incoming traffic because of asymmetrical routing?
Correct, which is a reality, and we all
know. Of course, I never thought about that. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, and this is also a good opportunity also to add a little bit of a rant over here, right? Because speaking on about specifically this use case of the source peer ASN, right, which is the moment in which you have an interface which is connected to an internet exchange, right? So you have a lot of traffic coming from this internet exchange, and you have a relationship one to one between an interface and a number of potential BGP peers, right? So by just, you know, then you cannot map anymore, let's say, an interface to an ASN, because you don't really know, you know, which ASN you should be mapping that to. So, of course, the intuitive solution and very simple solution would be to carry, you know, the source MAC information as part of the flow record. This is, you know, a basic functionality for S-Flow. Even though it is a basic functionality for S-Flow, you know, all vendors have shown over the years, and till now they have difficulties to represent the source MAC in NetFlow or IPFix. And this is very transversal, right? So it seems it's some sort of, not catching the importance of having that kind of field in NetFlow as well for whoever, you know, is connected to an internet exchange, which essentially means to the whole service provider community.
So you're effectively saying that in S-Flow we get the copy of the original packet, so we can do any analysis we wish, and whatever we get is reliable, but it's only sampled, so it's only statistically valid. Whereas in NetFlow, we get data for every flow, but we can't rely on some fields having the correct values in them.
Right, correct. And then what I'm also adding is that there are some fields that should be there, like the source MAC, but they are not there. So they are fully supported by the standard, but they are not implemented by the vendors. And of course, since I'm a lot connected to the service provider community, I always speak about the higher end routers and not, you know, the small software based routers, which of course have all the possible knobs available.
So this sounds almost like the uncertainty principle from quantum mechanics. So on this uncertainty note, let's wrap up this podcast. And Paolo, if someone is excited about PMACCT now and they want to download it and start playing with it, where can they get it?
They can get it on its own homepage, which is www.pmacct.net. And so PMACCT, so just to be more verbose about it, since the name is awful. And yeah, that's the page to start. There is over there links to the software itself, because it's free and open source, so you can download it, and links to tutorial, presentation, wiki, I mean all the usual suspects that you would expect.
And where can people find you if they want to get in touch with you and tell you that you should implement this cool new feature that would help them analyze whatever?
Right, so they can write me to paolo@pmacct.net, and my email address is, of course, on the bottom of the PMACCT homepage, and so in case people can find it over there as well.
And if they want to meet you in real life, any conferences or events you plan to attend in the near future?
Yes, I'm typically attending Write meetings in Europe, so that would be the perfect venue to meet me. And of course, if anybody is passing by Barcelona, I'm very happy to drink a beer.
So if anyone is coming to Barcelona, send Paolo an email and he'll be happy to share a beer with you.
Yes, that's great.
So thanks very much for joining us today, Paolo. And thank you, Bob, for being my co-host. So
Absolutely.
What are your plans for the upcoming days and weeks?
Well, this week is kind of just kind of the regular format. I've got a couple of regular customers that I work with one day each week, just slogging through all the various network projects they have going on. I've got to finish that surprise firewall migration that crept up on me over the weekend, and I'm actually helping a customer that runs a colo work out some customer isolation requirements. So, got a variety of topics I'll be working on. And unfortunately, no conferences or other neat fun geek events coming up for me anytime soon that I'm aware of. But maybe that'll change.
Oh, too bad. That will change. There's Networking Field Day in September.
Well, that's true.
And where can people find you?